previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Here we go. Hold on.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Are you ready? Are you sitting down?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Huli. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Relax, take it easy, stop it, just calm down. You're acting ridiculous. Just take it easy. My God, it's with you today. What is with you? You're out of control. How are you? Oh, man. I am facing next week one of life's worst pleasures, which doesn't make it a pleasure at all, and that's going to the dentist. I've talked about this before on the show because it is one of my pet peeves. I have a dog and a pet peeve. I have great disdain for dentists and their entire staffs. I wish they didn't exist. I have teeth, and I guess every once in a while I'm supposed to visit the Tooth Center of America so that these people can put their kids through college with my money. I think that's pretty much what it is. As I've said before, I get a call from the dentist about every 6 months. And basically they say, hi, this is a dentist calling. We haven't received any money from you in a while. It's time to come in for us to look at your teeth and suggest how many ways you can pay us for mouth problems. It's one of the few industries where they call you up and say, I haven't received much of your money lately. Let's come in here for an exam. Every time I go to the dentist's office, on my way up, I feel like I'm going to a gas chamber or something. I feel horrible. I feel like anything can happen and probably will. I walk into the office and there's this lady sitting behind a large piece of glass. For some reason, she feels like she must protect herself from me somehow. She can't just sit at a desk. She must be placed behind a large sheet of glass so that I can't touch her. She can't touch me, although that will change later on. And she says to me, your name? And I tell her my name, and she still looks perplexed. I mean, it's like she sees me every 6 months, but she always looks perplexed. You figure by now, when I walk in there, you go, Ron, how you doing? How are your teeth? How's everything? My God, it's been 6 months. How's the family? Everything good? You eating well? You look like you lost a little weight. But it's not like that. I walk in. Your name, please. My name? I come in here all the time. I practically support your entire practice. And we go through this insurance thing, and everybody in this dentist's office, I look at them with seething hatred, and they look at me back with seething hatred. It's a horrible relationship. It's someone should get therapy. We seethingly hate each other. I'm concerned about what they're going to do to me. I don't know what their problem is. So finally they call my name after about 17 hours. And I walk in there and every dentist and every oral hygienist has bad breath. I think it's a requirement. I think they make you smell bad just to intimidate your patients. And I probably don't smell so great myself, although I think I do. They're wearing masks. I'm not. The problem I have with dentists is that they're working on my teeth, which is really close to my head. And I don't like people fooling around with my head. I don't. Not even sexually. If a beautiful woman walked up to me and said, "Ron, yeah, I want to have unbridled, passionate sex with you, and I'm going to start by touching fondling your head. I'm going to take my fingers and stick them in your mouth." What? "Yes, I want to take my fingers and just swish them all around inside your mouth. I want to touch your teeth and your gums." Maybe with your tongue, but not with your hands, okay? Even the tongue part. Let's just get real here. Let's stop fooling around. No matter what I do, when I open my mouth, the oral hygienist always has something negative to say to me. Like, "I'm surprised you're still alive." That's basically they say to me every time. "Ron, have you been brushing?" Yeah, I have. "And have you been flossing, you little bastard?" Yes, of course I floss. Who wouldn't take a piece of wax string and happily shimmy it back and forth up to my gums? Who wouldn't do that for pleasure? "Ron, are you brushing twice a day?" Why? Are you actually brushing properly and flossing properly? I don't remember. I don't recall. I'm under interrogation all of a sudden. They got a light in my face. They've got my head tilted back, and they're interrogating me about my teeth. Hey, they're my teeth, not your teeth. They are my teeth. I'll brush them when I want. I'll floss them when I want, okay? "Ron, we're seeing a little receding of your gums." And so, what's your point? What are you trying to say? Are you trying to insult me? Is that an insult? Is that the way you insult me when you're a dentist? You don't say, "Hey, you're ugly" or "You're stupid. Your gums are receding." Is that an insult? I don't know. I don't know your lingo. Okay. And then the oral hygienist takes all these implements that really look like they're designed to lay foundations for large apartment buildings. I mean, there's all these tools, and they're all sharp. They're all sharp-edged. When I see the tool with the little mirror on the end, I say, "Oh, my God, thank God, a tool that doesn't have a sharp object at the end of it." She goes in there and she starts picking at my teeth. Who does this? Who does this? Is that normal? Who takes tools and picks away at people's teeth? What the hell are you doing? The worst part of me is the picking. Not the worst part of me. The worst part of it to me. The worst part of me. The worst part of me is my picking. I don't like when people come into my teeth and start picking away at them. It's a thing, and I never liked it. Here's what I want to happen. Look, the medical technology is incredible. You can You can do open heart surgery. You can replace organs. Let's not go overboard with the teeth thing. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want Novocaine shot into my gums. That's a little invasive as well. I want you sticking needles in my... Stop with the sharp objects in my mouth, okay? Stop that. I want you to do... Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get some of that Novocaine gel. I know they make it. I know they make it. Don't tell me they don't. Take the Novocaine gel and spread it on my gums and on my teeth and make sure that my mouth is completely numb. Like, I don't even know I have a mouth anymore. Ron, how's the family? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Somehow, they have the ability to understand when you can't talk. I don't know how they do that. It's like a language they've picked up. Ron, how's everything going? How's the wife? Really? I can't believe that happened. You should do something about that. I'll give you a phone number to call and they'll help you out. How do you even understand what I said? So I want my mouth to be totally numbed. So you could go in there and just do anything you want. You can go in there and blast. You could dig dynamite and blast my teeth away. If I don't feel it, go for it. I don't care. I shouldn't have to feel anything when you go into my mouth. I'll repeat that for those that are hard of hearing. You shouldn't. I shouldn't be feeling any pain in a dentist's office at all, except for the bill. That's painful too. That's like the double-edged jab, you know? I'm going to hurt you in your mouth, and please don't eat anything for 17 days. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to scrape things away. I'm going to pull your teeth out. I'm going to take your nerves and tie them into a knot in your mouth. I'm going to cause you great pain. Then after that, you're going to start walking out of the building, and the people behind the glass will stop you and tell you how much you owe, and that will also be painful in a different way. A pain in my wallet, a pain in my mouth, a pain in my ass. Why does this have to be so difficult? There's a company called Gentle Dental. It rhymes, it's cute, I wonder if it's true. I'll go there in a minute if that's really the case. Yes, we're dental people, and we're very gentle. Yeah, you are. You're all gentle. Gentle how? Gentle how? How about painless dental? How about that? I'll go there. I'll make an appointment right now. I'll stop the show and call and make an appointment. How about painless dental? I know you've got the technology to do that. I don't want to feel a thing. I don't want to feel a thing. I don't want to see you. Put a blindfold on me. Put me in that chair and let me know when you're finished. And then don't give me the bill when I leave. Send it to me and wait until at least a pain in my mouth has gone away. I have a great problem with dental stuff. It's only recently that dental stuff has been somewhat included in some health things. And, you know, your little health things. Your health insurance. Most people, it's not covered. You got health insurance. You're supposed to keep your body healthy. That includes your teeth, but somehow that's extra coverage. You have to pay for that extra. Why? My mouth is part of my body. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Health insurance is for me, for my body. My mouth is in my body. It's what I'm using right now to communicate with you. How is dental a separate insurance thing? How is that possible? They include mental health. If you're feeling like you're going a little nuts, you kind of can't take it anymore. That's included in most, if not all, health insurance. Dental? No. Dental? No. What is dental? Some type of a voodoo type of of medicine? No! It's been around ever since people have had teeth. I remember when I was a little kid, when a tooth was to be removed, it'd start getting loose, you know, my first teeth. And my father actually did tie a little piece of string around my tooth and then attached it to the doorknob. And thinking back on it, what the hell are you doing, man? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're tying my tooth to a doorknob? Hello? That's kind of, like, abusive. I didn't have a choice. What was I to say? Dad, I prefer you did not tie my tooth to a doorknob and then slam the door shut. That's quite an experience that is not very nice for me. I would ask you please to take me to the dentist instead, or please don't do that. But as a, you know, as like a four-year-old child, you don't have the ability to say no. You don't say, hey, dude, hold up, dude. You don't do that. It's your father. He could tie anything he wants to the doorknob. I don't have a thing to say about it. Anyway, so as you can tell, I don't love dentists. I'm sure they're really fine people. They're doctors. They're doctors of teeth. There's nothing wrong with that. You need it. I mean, your teeth do have to stay healthy. If your teeth get really bad off, it can cause infections throughout your entire body. So it's important. It should be covered by all health insurance, but it's not, and I don't know why, and I can't even figure out why not. It makes no sense whatsoever. But I need my dentist and my dental staff, if I'm going to see them on a regular basis, I need them to get into some better customer service relationships. And they'll all say, what are you talking about, Ron? We're all wonderful, nice, kind people. I don't know about that. You ain't winning no J.D. Powers customer service awards here. You've got to understand. I don't think dentists and oral hygienists go to the dentist themselves. I mean, if they did, they'd understand that the patient is put into a very precarious situation. You're putting me in a chair, tilting me back, handcuffing me to the arms of the chair pretty much, shoving a light in my face, asking me to embarrass myself by spitting in front of people into a small little sink so that those little spindles of spit create some type of a tightrope between my mouth, my lips, and a spit basin. That's a little, embarrassing. Nobody looks good with a string of spit coming out of their mouth. It's a deal breaker. And then you take all these metal objects, you put them into my mouth, and you start looking for gold. I mean, I don't get it. And then I have a great suspicion that the dentists themselves have created, where every single time I walk in, they find something wrong. Ron, we're going to have to replace this cavity here in this tooth. The cavity's been in there for about 10, 15, maybe 20, maybe 40, maybe 50 years. And we need to replace the cavity. And then while we're in there, we'll just take all your teeth out. What the hell? What the fuck at this point? You know? Wow, man. You're always finding something wrong with me. I'm never perfect, am I? You always got to find something wrong. And if it's not my teeth, you know... Ron, have you been flossing? Yeah, have you been brushing? Yes. Well, your teeth look good, but to be honest with you, you got to change those pants. They're disgusting. How long have you worn those pants without sending them to the laundry or something or washing them? I mean, my God. You're always finding something wrong with me. Always something wrong. I don't know. I don't get it. Would I ever want to be a dentist? No, I ain't putting my hands in other people's mouths. My God, I'm not doing that. There's no amount of money in the world where I would do that. Gynecologist, I consider that. But putting my hands in people's mouths? No. You've got another thing coming. I don't know what it is that you've got coming, but it's another thing.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Wow. 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 As you know, about a year ago, Puerto Rico was devastated by Hurricane Maria, but that wasn't the first hurricane in the chain. They had already been grazed by a hurricane just like weeks before. And then Hurricane Maria comes at full force and devastates the entire island, which, as Trump has pointed out, this particular island is surrounded by water. That was a year ago, and it's not as bad as it was, but it's horrible. There are thousands upon thousands and upon thousands of residents with blue tarps still over their houses, still no power. Granted, the island was not in the best shape before the hurricane hit, but also other hurricanes hit Texas and Florida and other parts of the country where relief was immediate. To Puerto Rico, because it was an island, this one surrounded by water, it was not to the rescue immediately. FEMA says that they did an outstanding job. The president says that that was actually a feather in his cap, that they've been rated A+. To this day, as you know, the death toll continues to rise from that, not because of old age, but because of Hurricane Maria. FEMA, supplies were delivered late and not distributed. FEMA did a horrible job. They took care of the states, the mainland, before they did Puerto Rico. There becomes a question, I don't know if it's valid or not, as to whether some people even consider Puerto Rico to be part of this country. But there are people who live there, and there are people who fight and die for this country, and Haiti isn't even a part of us, and we had ships, and that was an island too, surrounded by water, oddly enough. The relief effort there was incredibly mastered. Granted, this time around, we had other relief efforts that we were dealing with from the same storm or storms that had occurred almost simultaneously. But the relief effort there was sucky, and there's no two ways around it. We're going to speak to a direct relief organization that is still in Puerto Rico, obviously, still trying to do the best they can. This effort will go on. We'll be talking about this next year as well, probably on the same level. It is a shameful situation, although, again, I do understand there were many, many relief situations taking in this hemisphere. Yeah, the storms are getting more intense, and we better start realizing that and getting on board again with doing something with the environment to at least stop or at least freeze the intensity of these storms. But it's going to cost. We're going to have to dispense people to areas quickly and efficiently. And we're dealing with that now with North Carolina, obviously. So, kids, I mean, it's just, it's not a feather in the cap. It's not a feather in the cap. And for Trump to walk around saying we did an incredible job, is so Trump-like pathetic that it just falls into place with his mouth. If any dentist has any patriotism, that dentist should cement Trump's mouth closed permanently for good. Of course, before he goes off to jail eventually. Okay, let's talk to our guest about relief efforts in Puerto Rico.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Great. Thomas Teague, is it Teague? Is that the proper pronunciation?
Teague. Yeah, Teague.
All right, I could go either way. I went the wrong way. Thomas Teague joins us. He's the president and CEO of Direct Relief. Thanks for being with us today. It's the 1 year, well, I hate to use the word anniversary because that doesn't sound good, but it's been 1 year since Hurricane Maria, which devastated many parts of the country, but Puerto Rico especially, and we're still talking about that because of our friendly president who doesn't want to let things go and makes things worse than they are. But here we are. Let's take a look back as far as what happened a year ago. What was your experience during and after Hurricane Maria?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Ron, for having me on and, sure. and continue to care about Puerto Rico. You know, really, a year ago, it was eerily similar to how things are today with respect to North Carolina.
Yep.
Direct Relief had been working in Puerto Rico for the prior 10 years, working with the nonprofit community health centers that even on a good day need help, you know, getting their patients medications that they can't afford. And so we were keenly sensitive as we saw Maria approaching the difficulties that the groups that we knew would face.
Right.
And obviously it became so much worse than anyone had anticipated and took out the infrastructure, both roads and the whole power system failed. So I think in the succeeding days and weeks, we were here shortly thereafter and have been here ever since, really trying to just work with the fellow nonprofit organizations that, you know, provide essential services to people that are different from but related to what the governments are doing. And I think so much, as you said, the focus has been on what the government should or should not have done. I think it can overlook the fact that what millions of, literally millions of people in Puerto Rico have experienced and hundreds and thousands of local groups and communities have done to just pull together and do whatever they can. And that's what Direct Relief has been doing for the past year. And so it's actually quite hopeful if you work with the people who are deeply committed. They're less concerned about who to point fingers at, you know, what happened a year ago, and much more interested in seeing how they can get together and go forward and make things better.
Yeah, well, obviously, yes. But as an aside, nobody wants to point fingers, but at the same time, when the finger's pointing at you, you got to say what's on your mind, and unfortunately, that's what's happening. But the individual groups and individual efforts by many societies and organizations has been tremendous. It's the government that seems to have not participated to its fullest extent. But anyway, so where are we now? We're obviously further along than we have been, but it's certainly not anywhere near total recovery.
No, and I think even the reports that you see that focus on the mortality rate, I think the absence of good information is a real challenge to formulate a good picture. You know, good information determines good action. The better the information, the more informed the action. And I think that has been one of the challenges in Puerto Rico and inherently in emergencies. You know, what's going on? Where are the needs? Where have the people gone? How many have left the island? And in our case, yeah, we've delivered, I think it's close to 400 tons of specifically requested medical material from hemophilia factor for children at the pediatric hospital to the basic prescription drugs and insulin that people just need to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, a challenge before, and the complications for distribution when the power is out, the longest power outage in U.S. history occurred in Puerto Rico. So I think those create all sorts of challenges in general for life, but particularly for people who are the least well off, who don't have transportation and don't have access to information. And that's what I think Direct Relief has been focused on, including for the first time in our history, you know, we've had over 50 solar energy projects that are going on just for the health centers.
Right.
These are nonprofit community health centers, and this is all private money. Not, you know, we don't receive government money.
I know.
But just the importance of restoring power and battery backup storage for the solar power that's generated. That is not something that we would have anticipated a year ago doing, but it's been essential, and thankfully it's working well. So I think things that are related to restoring the basic services for people who are the least well off, that's really direct release focused. Right. And it's quite inspiring to work with people who've gone through so much and just haven't quit at all and still great positive energy, and they're not quitting at all. So I think, you know, it's quite inspiring from outside to continue, make us want to continue to do whatever we can to
Absolutely.
Help them.
Absolutely. It's a little bit scary how intense the storms have been over the past few years without much of a let up. Certainly what happened with the Hurricane Florence, what's happened with the typhoon, Japan and the Philippines. These are intense storms. So now we have to prepare for the worst, because the worst actually could happen. Before it was, yeah, maybe it could. Now it probably will. How do you prepare for something like that under the circumstances?
Well, it's like wildfires in California. There used to be a season, and now they're just year-round. So I think it's definitely a new set of circumstances. And you know, I think for direct relief, the coverage tends to be on the meteorological nature of these events, obviously.
Yes.
So, but we look at them as these are hugely disruptive social events for communities and societies. Mm-hmm. And so to understand less the meteorology and more the impacts that are caused and who should do what. I think the governments obviously have to, they play a critical role with respect to the critical infrastructure, but the delivery of services is not something that the government does every day. They don't deliver health services to everybody directly.
Correct.
That is done through
not
private individuals and
Correct.
Nonprofit organizations. But to really, for and we're focused on the health situation, the nonprofit health system that serves people who are the least advantaged. So it's been an ongoing effort for us to be more prepared, to have protocols and redundant systems for things like communications and satellite zones, because, you know, the nonprofit community health centers, whether they're in Texas or California or Puerto Rico or North Carolina, they are the safety net, and people do not necessarily see them as first responders, and they're not, but they are definitely first receivers. After you see people rescued, what happens next? And I think what happens is that they are plugged into the local community that's going to care for them, and that's what we're trying to mobilize resources and connect them to the local groups where the rubber hits the road. Maybe less dramatic than the rescues, but essential for the care over time, and that's certainly been the case in Puerto Rico, where, you know, 66 of these nonprofits that take care of 10% of residents on the island of Puerto Rico have not let up one day over the past year, just doing everything
Certainly.
They can for their patients.
Well, that's where the government leaves and your organizations and such like it take over. That's why a death toll goes up well after the actual incident, well after it. So, yes, I mean, it's crucial. How do we get more information and how can we help?
Well, I think, first of all, just the fact that you invited me to be on it, I really appreciate, I cannot thank you enough, because I think for people in Puerto Rico, the worst thing in life is to think that no one gives a crap about you,
I know.
And so I think the fact that if people care and express that concern, whether it's on social media or with their elected representatives or doing whatever, that means something. It's different than just, you know, a government pronouncement. And so I think if people are interested to continue to cover, sometimes it sounds trite, but even giving an encouraging like on social media to something good that's happening in Puerto Rico, and look for good Puerto Rican groups, and directly posted its one-year report about our activities over the past year. And on it is listed all sorts of dozens of great Puerto Rico locally run organizations that, you know, it's a privilege for us to work with, but people don't have to come through direct relief to work directly with them, and it means so much. So I think stay engaged, stay informed, and keep sending those that positive sense of support to Puerto Rico, and that means a lot and helps a lot, yeah. I think.
I've always said that you can understand the human condition if you turn everything around as if this had happened to you. That's how you best understand other people's circumstances. And if you put yourself in the scenario of being in Puerto Rico at that time, what would you want for help? What would you want to have done for you as an aftermath? And that usually answers the question.
Exactly. Okay. I couldn't have said it better. Yeah. I think it's always local, you know? We cover it nationally because they're big events, but at the end of the day, it's not only always local, it's also always personal to the person who's in it, just as you said, Ron. So,
thank you
so much. I can't thank you enough.
Well, it's good talking to you, Thomas. Thank you so much, and the best to you.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Take care.
Goodbye.
There you have it. Sad but true.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry. No one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Great. This is Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum. She's a cardiologist, and she's the attending cardiologist and director of women's health, heart health at Northwell Lenox Hill Hospital, New York City. She's New York Magazine has named her one of the 10 best in the area, and she joins us now. So we got the expert here. Here's the deal. I've been told for a long time to get into the omega-3 world, and I do on and off. What are the benefits of this?
Well, omega-3 is an essential nutrient. It is beneficial for overall health. It supports healthy blood flow in the arteries and prevents cardiovascular disease. It supports cardiovascular health and cognitive brain health. It's good for the joints, the skin, the eyes. So omega-3s do a lot of stuff. And the issue with it is that as important as it is, the body doesn't make it. So we have to get it from outside sources.
Okay. Now, I know if we eat enough certain types of fish, they're very rich in omega-3s, but most people don't eat fish every day.
What we recommend through the American Heart Association is fatty fish like salmon, sardines, and mackerel should be eaten 2 servings per week.
Okay.
And believe it or not, a lot of people don't even get enough through that and through their diet.
Yeah.
And in that situation, supplementation could be an option.
Okay. Now, on the supplementation, I don't know how much to take to be when I go to the store and the over-the-counter thing, there are thousands of choices, and I don't know which ones are good and which ones are bad, or not as good as the other, nor the dosage. Can you help me out there?
Absolutely. So you're right. There have been so many reports out there of some supplements that really are not manufactured well, and it becomes important to have an understanding of what is a good quality product and looking at the label and making sure that it's purely manufactured is incredibly important. But what we recommend in terms of the milligrams is 1,000 milligrams of that omega-3 per day.
All right. Okay. All right. It's also found in other foods besides fish, though. I know some nuts, apparently. Is that true?
Yes, and you can get it in flax seeds and nuts. It's not absorbed the same way. So it's really part of a healthy diet.
Okay.
And certainly nuts and flax seeds, we know the omega-3s in these foods are important and helpful. But they don't increase your omega-3 level in your blood quite the same that the fatty fish do.
Okay.
And again, that's when supplementation might be helpful.
Okay. What if someone says, hey, I take a multivitamin every day. I know there's omega-3s in there. I guess they should check and see just how much there is in there, because it's probably not sufficient.
Yeah, we have really taught ourselves that a multivitamin is enough, and there have been so many studies out there that really show for prevention, a multivitamin might not be the way to go.
Uh-huh.
And certainly when we look at things that have blood test levels, like an omega-3,
mm-hmm.
you can actually figure out what your own personal needs are by getting a blood test that's called an omega-3 index level.
Oh.
And you might need more omega-3s that are in your multivitamin, and your multivitamin might not be helpful for you.
Oh. So do I have to go to my doctor to get this particular panel on a blood test, or are there other ways to get it?
So you can talk to your doctor and ask for an omega-3 index level.
Uh-huh.
You can go to this website called knowyouromega3s.com, and there's a short quiz there that can help you sort of determine what your levels might be
mm-hmm.
based on your lifestyle. And one of the neatest things that's going on now is Walmart has a wellness day on September 21st and 22nd.
Okay.
And at these Walmarts, there will be free omega-3 test kits that are being supplied by MegaRed, an omega-3 supplement. And you could just pop into Walmart and get an omega-3 test done right there and get your number.
Oh, and I could also buy something. Okay.
And you can.
that's convenient. Okay. Do they sell test kits also? Are there such a thing?
No, not yet. And okay. As of right now, you've got to go talk to your doctor or go on that website, knowyouromega3s.com.
All right. That's very helpful. So this is something that the body does not manufacture itself, yet it is essential, and it only helps everything. Are there any downsides to omega-3 by any chance?
There's always a downside to everything, right? We can argue that.
Okay.
But I really, more isn't better. And when we know what your levels are, we get to say exactly how much you need.
Okay.
It's not necessary to go out and grab a bottle of omega-3s and take 10 a day. And sometimes people get that feeling that more is necessary. And that's not the case.
Okay. All right. How do I get more? Have I learned everything I need to know here?
I think you have.
All right.
It's an important topic, and we certainly know the importance of diet and exercise on overall health. And part of that diet message is really the importance of getting omega-3s in your diet. And it's either through fish or you're going to need it through supplementation.
Yeah, I'll choose the supplementation. I like fish, but I don't know. You know, why not? And it sounds from what you're saying that the supplementation is a more direct, for sure, method of adding these to your body. Where do I go for more information again, please?
It's knowyouromega3s.com.
Great. Thank you so much. This is a good
thing.
Thank you. I think this is a good thing. Thank you. You take care now.
You too.
Thanks, Doctor. Bye-bye. I'll be back again with a brand new show the next weekday that rolls around. I hope you join me then. You've been wonderful. You'll be wonderful. Look in your mail for a little gift from me. You'll never see it because I didn't send it, but nonetheless, have fun looking. And have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. Goodbye. Go forth and multiply. Yeah, Nicole, yeah. Cancel my appointment with the dentist for today. No, tell him I'll call him back. I'll call back when I'm ready. Yeah, just cancel it. Cancel it, please. I don't want to go. I don't want to go.